Hi, hello, happy Monday! Happy Monday, Topics of Taboo fam, and welcome back to another episode of Topics of Taboo, the raw and honest podcast where we unpack, educate, and attempt to erase the stigma surrounding taboo topics. I'm your host, Megan Dykeman, and yeah, in today's episode, we are going to be challenging societal expectations and gender norms. Wowee, big topic to cover. I just wanted to do a little catch up with you guys before I dive into this pretty heavy topic. It's pretty dense, there's a lot to it, but I just wanted to sit here and give you guys a bit of an update. It's been a week since we last spoke, and yeah, a lot has happened. First of all, we are back in lockdown as of 11:59pm tonight, and by we, I mean all of Victoria, including regional areas, which is where I am currently residing. So, to anyone who is listening to this who lives in Victoria, we can do this, we've got this, it's just 5 days to nip this thing in the bud, hopefully it doesn't spread any further. But yeah, to any of you listening, I love you so much. We've got this. Brief update on my gut health and my near-death stomach pains that I was having last week. No joke. So I haven't really spoken openly about my gut issues on this podcast as of yet. I definitely will be in the future. But basically, I've had issues with my gut for the longest time. I'm talking longer than 6 years. And I've been to several different specialists. I've been to naturopaths, doctors, so many people. And none of them ruled out anything other than celiac. That was every doctor's main concern. I saw about 5 or 6 doctors about it and several other health concerns. And they were always like, oh, like, okay, let's rule out celiac. So we'd do a blood test, make sure I don't have celiac. And then as soon as that came back clear, it was like, oh, you're all good. And I'm like, no, I'm not good, hun. I'm dealing with daily bloating, stomach cramps, all of the typical IBS symptoms, anxiety, mood swings. Like, so much was going on. So much wasn't right. And I knew for the longest time something was deeply wrong with me within my gut. But it's really hard to tell a health professional how to do their job. I guess we all know this. About a month ago, I sought out a nutritionist, a local nutritionist, who specializes in gut health, IBS symptoms, treating these, controlling these, all of those good things. I had read only good things about him, and I was like, you know what? Book me in. Book him, Dano. So I booked myself in, went and spoke to him about all of my concerns, my symptoms, and yeah, without questioning it, he said, we need to run some tests. And that was music to my ears. I felt heard for the first time in years. Someone sat there, listened to my symptoms, what happens to me on a daily basis, what foods affect what and how. And then he said, let's run some tests. So I did the most expensive poo in the world. My comprehensive stool test, which later revealed what was wrong with me, cost $280 Australian for me to literally poo, dissect my poo, and then send it away for someone else to pop in a Petri dish. Yeah. So, did that, it came back. Basically, I have a few things wrong. I have a parasite in my gut. I have an overgrowth of a bacteria. And I also have another infection going on in there. So it's all happening. It's a one big party up in my gut. Love that for me, or for them. But basically all of these things are interacting, making me bloat on a daily basis, giving me IBS symptoms, giving me anxiety, mood swings, like everything that could be off balance is off balance. I have virtually no good gut bacteria in my stomach. So basically I've been put on a really strict diet for 4 weeks and it has tested me, you guys. Like, oh God, it's literally no alcohol, no carbs, no grains, no sugars. The only fruits I can have are strawberries, raspberries, lemon and lime. Obviously no bread, nothing of the sort, nothing like that. No pastas, like nothing. I can have some gluten-free grains, like I can have a gluten-free wrap once a week or whatever, but he said to even limit that. It's very strict. I'm basically stuck on having eggs for breakfast, bland smoothies, and meat and veg are basically on rotation. There is absolutely no snacking, which is probably a good thing, but along with all of this, I'm also on medication for 4 weeks, and it's a round that switches between days. So days 1 to 4, I take a certain medication, and 5 to 7, I take a certain medication for 4 weeks. Now, Last Friday was my first full day of this extreme diet and medication. I was at my boyfriend's house. He had a friend over that we hadn't seen for ages. Everything was going swell. We had dinner together. Everything was so nice. And then we went to bed. And oh my stomach pains. Okay, so it started off with like centralized like cramping, which I'm so used to, right? I experience this every day. I was like, oh yeah, okay. This is just my stomach reacting to it. Popped a heat pack on it. It was completely fine. I was like, this is all good. I'll just fall asleep. We'll be all G in the morning. She was not all G in the morning. In fact, she was not all G within an hour. Within an hour, the pain had spread from like the center of my gut, my stomach, down to my right hand side. And for those of you who don't know, that's exactly where appendix pain originates. Well, ends up anyway. And that is where your appendix is too, people. So I'm going, I am in such excruciating pain next to my partner in bed. Couldn't move. Debilitating. I could not move a muscle without it like killing me. Being a female, like not saying that I have a super high pain tolerance, but yeah, as a female, I do experience menstrual cramps, you know, like we do experience like bad things like that in our stomach. And this was like nothing I've ever experienced before. This was excruciating pain, right? This was like I was having contractions. It was, oh God. I sat myself up so many times and nearly got my partner to take me to hospital because I was seriously thinking something was really, really wrong. In the end, I hobbled to the kitchen, like literally bent over. I couldn't stand straight. It was too painful. Popped some Panadol and went back to bed and eventually fell asleep. In the morning, the pressure was still there. I emailed my nutritionist and said what had happened, and he presumed it was just a mixture of the extreme diet, like just going from one pretty poor diet to this to the next, including the parasite medication that's meant to kill it off. So it's probably just a buildup of wind and things, everything happening in my lower intestine, my large intestine. But I almost admitted myself to hospital because it was that painful. So it hasn't been much fun. I've struggled with it a lot mentally. It's actually really hard when you can't just go and eat exactly what you want. You can't go out for dinner because there's like one option, if that. There's wheat in everything, or there's vinegar, or there's things that I can't eat in almost every single food. And that is really challenging, both mentally and physically. But we've just started week two. We're one day into week two. I'm feeling much better mentally. I'm getting used to this diet, and yeah, it's getting a whole lot easier. But I'm on the road to recovery. I cannot wait to see how this helps my body. I can't wait to live a life where I don't bloat every single day, have mood swings, have all of that. I just want to get my gut in good health. And yeah, I thought I'd open up a little about that because I've been suffering and I've never really spoken on it. So yeet. All right, let's get into today's episode. I really wanted to focus on the societal expectations for men and women that we encounter on a daily basis. Also, before I start this, I want to make clear that anytime I refer to men or women in this episode, I'm referring to any and all humans who identify as male or female, regardless of societal stereotypes or definitions, all that stuff. So I'm currently reading a book. It's called Women Don't Owe You Pretty by Florence Given. I think most of you have probably heard of it by now. And it's such an eye-opener. Like, in the introduction of the book, Florence details this like conversation, what a conversation would look like between her younger self and her older self currently. And in this conversation, she explains to her younger self that the collective societal focus on women needing to be pretty and desirable is completely informed by racism, sexism, fatphobia, disableism, transphobia, and of course, male desire. I'll be diving into each and every one of those topics in future as separate episodes, but like that's obviously a lot to unpack. But it sent off like sparks in my mind, light bulbs. It's so true, and I knew this deep down, but I just had to read it to actually realize the extent of it. She also talks about how even though when she was younger, she thought putting on makeup was for herself and because she wanted to. But the reason she wanted to look pretty, or the reason she wanted to put that makeup on to improve her appearance, was not for herself, but that society has taught humans to view women as more desirable with makeup on, or more desirable when we're dressed up with big boobs or skinny, etc. And it's so true. The beauty standards that are constantly emphasized and fed to us through media, film, and television that have been for decades focus on these things. Desirable women as those who are skinny, big boobed, blonde, makeup, tanned. I could go on. The list goes on. It's true. The biggest thing that hit home for me while reading this introduction was the fact that she touched on how boys and men can wake up, like literally wake up 10 minutes before work, uni, school, and rock up looking tired and disheveled and no one bats an eyelid. But when a woman, or if a woman does this, people would say, oh, you look tired, or are you sick? For coming to work or school or uni or whatever it is with a bare face or slightly unbrushed bed hair. Whoa, a crime, damn. In fact, some guys even get praised for rocking that just out of bed look. And look, I get it. It can be hot, especially when it's my boyfriend. But anyone else can also rock the just out of bed look, regardless of their gender identity. What? Like, why is it this whole focus on guys not having to look good or not brushing their hair or looking tired, but no one comments on it? But it's a whole other spectrum when it comes to women. Why? And God, it's so true. Let me tell you from personal experience. I'm honestly super lazy when it comes to wearing makeup. On days where I'm not shooting content for brands or filming, I genuinely need to be like going out to a fancy dinner or an event outside of my work schedule to really dress up. And that's just the lazy in me, and that's fine. Thus, I rarely wear makeup to work, and the amount of times I got told or have been told I looked sick or tired purely because I wasn't what? Like satisfying society's definition of female desirability because I wasn't wearing mascara to make my eyelashes look longer for you, or foundation to cover my imperfections and, I don't know, give that airbrushed, flawless appearance. Like, I'm sorry, what the fuck? As I speak on this topic, I'm actually starting to question why I even wear makeup at all. Like, I really am sitting here. Or why I tan, for instance. I fake tan weekly. At least once a week. And I fake tan because it makes me feel better about myself. Or is it making me feel better about how other people see me? If I look tanned, I look skinnier and toned and therefore more desirable by societal definition. But what the fuck? Why? Like, why? One day, and I'm telling you this, so hold me to this, and we should all hold each other accountable for this, but one day, I want to be completely comfortable in my own skin without fake tan, makeup, eyelashes, whatever I've paid for to improve my feminine appearance, currently or in the past or whenever. And I challenge you to do the same. Okay, and I'm not going to sit here and deny that I don't love dressing up and feeling made up in inverted commas, because I do. I do love seeing myself like that from time to time. I do love getting dressed up every now and then and looking super feminine. But do I love that for me? Or do I love that to feel validation from others in society? These are some pretty tough questions to ask myself, and I suppose for you guys to ask yourselves. But yeah, I'm going to be covering both male and female societal expectations and end this episode with how to break them, how to challenge them. So I was having a chat to my partner about this episode this morning, and he made a great point from a male's point of view, and he said something along the lines of, boys need to be smart or sporty, there's no in between. Insinuating like you get missed if you're not either of those. And I really thought about that because I never really think about things from the male perspective, obviously being a woman. I guess it's true. Smart can also be tough, and speaking of smart, it can also be a tough one between being nerdy or hot smart. Perhaps a guy that plays sport and is also successful in academia is seen as even more desirable. But why? Like, who made these decisions? Why is this the case? Like, height is also another big one I wanted to cover. Women seem to love tall men. Not all women, but a lot of women seem to love tall men, okay? How many times have you thought about the attributes or features that you like in a guy or your crush and considered a tall guy as more attractive than a shorter guy in your mind, in your made-up scenario in your head, or at least a guy taller than you? They don't have to be 6 foot, But, like, ask yourself this, would you date a guy shorter than you? And that question is entirely subjective, and I understand this, and I would presume most people listening to this would see more in an individual than just their height. But that's not to say it doesn't happen, because it does, and I've seen it firsthand. And this is obviously a factor that no one has any control over, but it is made into a desirable attribute that is somewhat unattainable without going out of their way to change it. Like, yeah, I guess you could wear, like, platform Converse or, I don't know. You can't really change it. You can't get a height transplant. Well, not to my knowledge anyway. Some of you wanted me to touch on the differences in girl code and bro code definition. Interesting one. I've never really taken part in the girl code thing. Like, I know the basics, but I've never actually read it or fully, you know. But I took a look at an article titled The 36 Unwritten Rules of Girl Code That All Women Need to Live By. I guess I'll just say, if you are somehow unfamiliar with girl code, it's basically an unspoken set of rules that exist between a girl and her best friends, or girls and their friends. And I guess girl code kind of tries to outline the do's and don'ts of good friendship, and whether the rules are implicit or explicit, they're generally what can make or break friendships, okay? So that's what girl code is. In contrast, bro code, literally, basically every single portion of it is men putting men before women. So it's a completely different thing. The girl code is about keeping those friendships alive, doing everything to foster healthy friendships between girls, and the guys one is literally men before women, always. I'll touch on it a bit more soon, but the girl code article detailed some pretty harmless duties, such as wait until your friend is in her house before you drive away, or assist in the change room at all times when shopping. And in contrast, the bro code number one is bros before hoes, whereby a hoe is defined as any woman that is not your wife or direct family. Nice one. There is so much strong homophobia and sexism in both codes, and it's so gross. The world would be an even worse place if we all lived by the bro code and girl code. Yikes. But yeah, while I did notice that the girl code is much more harmless and it's more about fostering those friendships, it's still a little bit off. And yeah, I don't know, a bit sexist, a bit homophobic, you know, like, don't go after your friend's guy or stuff. Like, there's no, it's all very gendered, all very yuck. You also wanted me to touch on stereotypes, and there are so many gender-based stereotypes in society that if I wanted to mention all of them, I would literally be here till like 2025. But just in case you're unaware, here are a few common societal expectations or gender norms that I could think of. One, women are expected to be more emotional and accommodating, while men are expected to be more confident and aggressive. Number two, some people expect women to be the housewife, take care of the children, cook, wash, clean, while the man brings home the money or works on repairs in the house because the woman can't do that. I know that one is slowly turning around and becoming outdated, but still what some people think. Some people see the man as the breadwinner and the woman as the individual who has their children, bears the children, raises the children. Number three I had was assuming a nurse is a woman or a doctor is a male. Big one. I know a lot of us probably do that without even thinking, and I still do that from time to time. If someone says doctor, I think male, and then I go, no, stop that, and I switch it. And I'm really training myself to do that, which I will talk about later. Number four, women are expected to be thin and graceful, while men are expected to be tall and muscular. There we go. There we have it. Tall and muscular. What I was talking about before. So true. So true. Number five, men and women are also expected to dress and groom in ways that are stereotypical to their gender, i.e. men wearing pants and short hairstyles, women wearing dresses and makeup. There we go, tater tots, dresses and makeup. Mm-hmm. These are just some of the most common stereotypes and societal gender norms that are constantly around us, fed to us through media and absolutely every avenue possible. But I'm sure there's other stereotypes and gender norms and things that are around you that you've noticed that you probably don't agree with or are outdated or you would like to challenge, those sorts of things. So how can we fight these gender norms and societal expectations? Well, my people, there are a few ways to challenge these and to help everyone, no matter their gender or gender identity, feel equal and valued as people. So I have a few here. Number one is point it out. Magazines, TV, film, and the internet are full of negative stereotypes everywhere you look. It would be on TikTok, Instagram, magazines, shows, movies, everywhere. Okay, it's fed to us. daily. And sometimes these stereotypes are hard for people to see unless they're pointed out. But I'm telling you now, they're everywhere. So be that person. Talk with friends and family members about the stereotypes you see and help others understand how sexism and gender stereotypes can be hurtful and they're not okay. And it's not okay to keep adding fuel to that fire. Let's try and stop it. My second one here is be a living example. And by this, I mean be a role model for your friends and family. Respect people regardless of their gender identity, always. Create a safe space for people to express themselves and their true qualities, regardless of what society's gender stereotypes and expectations are. Big one. Almost the biggest one. As well as this, you can speak up if someone is making sexist jokes and comments, whether they're online or in person, challenge them. Always, always. I do not stand for sexism, racism, anything, homophobia. I don't. So if you see it, call it out. Be the change. If you see someone call it out, if someone sees you calling it out, they may help as well and add in their two cents. You know, someone has to start it. And that if that person can be you, that's great. That's fantastic. Also, in a more personal way, and I really liked this point when I came up with it, it was give it a try. So if you want to try something that's not normally associated with your gender, fuck it. Do it. Challenge those norms. If you want to do something, don't let society's expectations stop you from doing that, especially if you're super excited about it. My last point I had here, which is something that I really try to focus on every single day, call yourself out. Change your views. Challenge your views. If you start thinking in a stereotypical way, try to train yourself out of it. And obviously it can take time. This stuff has been fed to us since birth, and everyone around us, and still is. But yeah, like I said, the example of when I hear doctor, I think man, or when I think hear nurse, I think woman, I'm actually really not anymore. Whenever I hear nurse, I do think either. I don't go to someone straight away, but when someone says doctor, or I hear people talking about doctors, a lot of the time it's he, not she, not they, not them. So that's something I'm really trying to get others out of. And I do that if I speak about a doctor to a friend or my mom or my dad, and I haven't actually disclosed their gender identity, and they start saying he, I always, always correct them with the correct gender identity or whoever it was. Sorry, everyone. My mom just messaged me. Classic. Always call them out. Always call yourself out. Okay? And that is how we start challenging and changing these gender norms and societal expectations. That is what we need to do. That is what we need to do. And we can do it. And we can spark change. And it does just take one person starting to do it. If you think, I'm just one person, you're not just one person. You could start anything. But one of us does need to start it. And we all need to be doing it within our circles, within our families. And it's not going to happen overnight. It will take some time. But yeah, that is how we do it, people. If you want me to do a more detailed video on this, or you want me to focus on something in particular, hit me up at Topics of Taboo on Instagram, send me a DM. Or if you just have any questions or comments about anything I've said in this, then also comment on my recent, or yeah, DM me on there. I'd love to have a conversation. I'm also thinking about starting a Facebook group for Topics of Taboo that might make it easier for all of us to talk on and communicate ideas and all those sorts of things, because I understand not everyone likes or has Instagram. So obviously I'll keep that page going for those of you who do, but I thought I might make a Facebook group as well. So let me know your thoughts on that as well. And that brings us to the end of this episode, which means it is shout out time, my people. This week's shout out goes to Lucy from the United States, who said, Megan, I've been watching your YouTube videos since I started questioning my sexuality, and I'm so grateful for the relatable content that you've posted between your videos and this podcast. The way you explain and talk about things makes me think so much more clearly, and I have now figured out that I'm also bisexual. Thanks for helping me through the scary process of questioning. Your content has truly been a godsend to me. P.S. I really enjoyed your episode about high school because now I feel a little less scared about what comes next. Thank you so much for that kind review, Lucy. You are so adorable, and I'm so glad I could help ease some of the anxiety around high school. And for another bonus review, woohoo, we have Emma from Canada, who wrote, "This pod is like when you're walking with a friend and having a really good life talk. So many important topics and fun, comfortable energy all round. A perfect midday listen." Thank you so much, Emma. That is also so sweet. Thank you both for your kind words. amazing stuff. If you yourself would like a sneaky episode shout out to, then be sure to leave an Apple Podcast review, and who knows, I might be reading out your review next week. Thanks so much for listening, Tater Tots. Be sure to follow us on Instagram @topicsoftaboo to get involved, and I'll chat to you all next week. Bye!